Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live at.
This morning, I get to introduce our guest speaker, and Sarah and I met a long time ago, actually. Back in the day, her and her husband, they've done many different things in the city. But when we first met, I had been in Toledo not very long, actually, and I thought this borderline homeless guy showed up to our worship service, but it ended up being her husband, George. He had really long hair. Do you guys remember when your dad had really long hair? Did he cut it by the time you were? No. Okay. But amazing couple, such a passion for the Lord. Bought a home, opened it up. Started inviting kids from the neighborhood in to minister to them. They ended up planting a church in the city, which they grew, and they've stepped aside from. And George is doing bigger ministry stuff with the denomination now. But Sarah continues to work at the Transformation Center, which she helped co-found, and I've been a part of that. Different people from Washington have been a part of that, but. Amazing person. She has such a heart. She travels around and does seminars and teaches people how to listen to the movement of God and to discern the will of God and listen to the Spirit of God in their lives. But she's been here before. She's spoken at our Encounter Night several times, and she's spoken on Sunday before. But would you join me in welcoming Sarah Williams to come up here and teach us this morning?
Bless you. I love this church. I love your leadership, the staff that is just leading your church beautifully. Do you love your leadership? I am so thankful for the friendship and that we can minister together and co-labor in ways that God's called us to. I just was looking at your statement. You all are pretty familiar with this at the top of the program, right? Just about being disciples, that you're moving in the power and the giftings of the Spirit and bringing God's kingdom on earth. And I love that so much. It kind of reminds me of a statement that a group of us have been making since 2016. And it's a declaration that we're believing all over our city. Now, this might sound kind of crazy, but we're praying that the entire city would be saved. But here's the thing, it's not so crazy when we know that it's the will of God that everyone would be saved, amen? And he did it for Nineveh, so can he do it for Toledo? Can I share our little declaration with you that we do? Would that be okay? All right. So this is how we usually stand, but you don't have to stand. But we say, today we stand with anticipation, believing for our city's transformation. Heaven coming to earth, godly dreams and desires being birthed, 500,000 saved and set free, the church walking in her destiny, families fully restored, every home in the city proclaiming you as Lord, children prophesying, dreaming, and carrying your glory, a church walking in power and in love with your story. We thank you, Lord, for choosing us for such a time as this to bring your kingdom to our beautiful city. And this is a year we're really just pressing in. Amen. Amen. Jesus, we are believing for a great move of the Lord in our city, and I love the like-mindedness. It's the kingdom coming to earth if this is going to happen, and we're believing for the greater things. And with that, you know, I know you guys go for the power and the Spirit, and I love healing and deliverance and being set free from oppression and healing in bodies and hearts. That's what our God does. Amen. And we go after these, and I make it my life's priority to go after these things, except there's one thing that's greater, and 1 Corinthians 13 tells us it. Do you guys remember what it is? It's having love, that we can do all these things, but if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. I'm just going to read the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. And I was so happy to be asked to share a particular passage in your series that you're doing that embodies this message, and it explains the things that are the main thing. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read together 1 John 4, 7 through 16. Pretty sure it's ESV in my notes here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Amen. Are you guys all familiar? This book and study has been around for a long time, but do you know Gary Chapman's five love languages? Everybody knows this. And there's like all different kinds. So like, I think when he first started, it was sort of like to help you with marriage, but there's all kinds of five love languages for children. And I know there's applications in every relationship that we have. And do you remember the concept where he talks about a love tank, and our love tank needs to be full? Well, I was just thinking as I was preparing this, this really is God's design for us to have our love tank full of his love all the time. In fact, can we throw up my image one, if you would, please? See that? See those arrows? That's the love flow of God going into our hearts. This was his design, that God's love would flow and we would be so full. There's a constant provision, flowing of his love that began and was demonstrated to us through Jesus, right? Through Jesus giving his life. We just read about that. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's so much more than just believing and knowing that Jesus died for us, right? There's a difference between having knowledge in our head and experiential knowledge of the love of God. But God says through his word, all through scripture, that he wants us to experience his love and us to be full of his love through experience. So do you guys remember this scripture? It's a pretty familiar one. I'm sure you've heard it lots. Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. But I want you to think about it. Really think about it. Like, not just in the memorized way of thinking about it, but the heart way of it, okay? I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how high, how wide, and how long, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. This is the experiential invitation. Psalm 36 says, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. When's the last time you went under the shadow of his wing? When's the last time you were feasting on the abundance of his house and drinking from his river of delights? That's experiential love. And beloved, that is what he gave his life for. Yes, so that we would have eternal security, but also so that we could live in love with the one who gave it all. Every day. It's amazing that we have security. But there's so much more. And sometimes, if I'm honest, hopefully if we're honest, we forget about the first love. We forget about that, don't we? Does anybody else? Life gets busy, or sometimes hard things make us feel a disconnect from God. And I can't go into depth because of time on this, but I do want to mention this. That sometimes, if we could do image two, please, there are blockers, even unknowingly, we have blockers in our lives that block the flow. God's love is there and ready to flow, but we have a block. It could be a belief that he's angry or disappointed with us. We could be struggling with guilt and shame and condemnation and forget that Jesus paid the price with his blood for all that to be washed so that we could be in right standing, but yet the enemy is just badgering us with those things, and all we can think about is our shortcoming and shame and going just in our mind over and over in condemnation. And if that voice is so loud, guess what? It's going to be really hard to hear the voice of love. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we've set up idols above God. Or maybe we're just so full of fear and anxiety and striving and the exhaustion that that brings that we find ourselves too busy for love. I mentioned these things. We can't dive deep into these today, but I hope that it helps you for a minute just to consider, are any of these things blocking the flow of love? Because the provision of God, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they all together are so passionate for you to be free from anything that would hinder that flow. And there is power in his love to free you today, to renew the flow, perceived flow. His love is flowing. It does not stop. But our perception and our ability to receive it can be hindered. So can I invite you just to close your eyes for a minute? And I'm just going to have you ask God, is there anything in my life that's blocking your flow of love? Toward the end of service, we are going to have an opportunity for prayer, and I know the prayer team would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. sometimes the discovery of these things is not a quick fix, but it's saying, I'm willing to go down a road with God to get this thing removed. And so this might be the beginning for you of setting your eyes on a course that God's inviting you into so that you can receive his love again, or maybe really even for the first time. Sometimes we've made a decision, but we actually have had such strong blockers that we haven't even been able to fully experience him. So I want to just take a look now at the part of the scripture that tells us that God wants us and our personal love relationship with him to be the means by which we live. Did you get the gist of that when we read that scripture? That it's, he's given us his love, and his love in us is how we love one another. That's it in a nutshell, right? So let me just read this again. I'm going to read 16, and then I'm going to read 12. So we have come to know and to believe the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. You guys probably are pretty familiar with this scripture that's just beyond this in 1 John 4:18. And it talks about how there's no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear, right? The last part of that says, fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And I think John is just helping us realize we are on a journey, whether you're struggling with fear, whether you're struggling with loving one another well. On my original picture, there was an outflow, right? You might serve one another, you're forgiving, you're doing. I'd like to call it the one another's. This will be included in the devotions you have this week. It's a whole page of one another's. All the things that we're called to do, bearing with one another, comfort one another, encourage one another. The root of all that is love. The one another that's mentioned above all else is love one another. And that's the source of us being able to one another. Right? But we're being perfected in his love. How many of you love perfectly? Anybody here? I mean, 10 out of 10, every time you're loving people really, really well. Me neither. I'm glad to know I'm not alone here. We're on a journey, and, you know, it's not something that we can intellectually trek through. We have to experience the love of God and be transformed in order to love the way that he does. And so the only way that we can do this is by pursuing love number one. It has to be number one. We remember Jesus said that, right? He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Matthew 22. A lawyer asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we need to ask, God, is loving you the greatest priority of my life? So number two can happen so that I can love my neighbor as myself. This is going to be lots to think about, but if you go into the devotionals this week, I had the privilege of writing them, so I help you, you know, have more questions to ponder and how you can activate this week. But the thing that I felt God put in my heart is that he is looking for love chasers. He's looking for love chasers. So all across this room, my question to you this morning is, will you be a love chaser? We have to get real about our love outflow. If we can do image three, we have to be able to evaluate what's going on. And I know some of this can be heavy, but if we don't steward our heart, then we're not going to love. Proverbs tells us that, right? We have to guard our heart with all diligence because everything we do in life flows from it, or everything we don't do from it flows not from it, right? Whatever's going on in our heart is going to dictate how we're living. So these are things that we should ask ourselves honestly and ask the Lord, is there any judgment in my heart? Is there any pride going on? Selfishness, bitterness, unforgiveness, indifference that hinders me from loving well? Some people are really easy to love. Not everyone's easy to love. But do we choose, pick and choose, how much love flow we extend? Do we dictate how much someone's worthy of love? I'm asking you, and I will be the first to hold a mirror to myself, and I'm going to do it. So I'm going to tell you my own testimony of something I've just walked through the past couple months with the Lord. Is that okay? Because I had a moment. You know, we are in this community believing for our city to be transformed. I just read this declaration, believing every soul to be saved. We were in a prayer meeting, and someone brought to the table something that they felt really that God was saying for us to ponder. So we took some time in the prayer meeting to listen to what the Lord was saying. And this is what the person in our prayer group wrote. Will you daily pick up your cross and follow me? Will you surrender your ways and your thinking? Will you cast down your idols? Will you answer the call? And what we did in our prayer meeting is we took some time to actually respond to the Lord because he was asking us questions. Like, we use this format a lot. We ask him questions, but he was asking us questions. And I said, we need to take a pause and answer the Lord, you know, in this holy moment. And we took some time to listen. And I gotta tell you, he convicted me big time. I really, really was saddened in my heart when he showed me that I'm so passionate for evangelism, but I did not reflect his heart in a situation where it was hard to love. So can I tell you a little story? I have a neighbor that has been, it's been very difficult since we've lived in our home, which we've lived there since 2019. To give you a little context, we live in a nice but modest Toledo neighborhood. Where many of my neighbors keep their lawns professionally manicured, but we do it ourselves, and we struggle to keep up with the Joneses, if I'm honest. And we have a little bit of an urban farm going on. We've got some chickens that make really great eggs when it's in season, and sometimes when they're allowed to free range, they shuffle our mulch a little bit, and it doesn't look perfect. I'm just being honest, okay? Is that all right? And so probably it can get a little bit annoying sometimes if we're looking at the perfect aesthetics. Maybe we get a C+, if I'm honest. We have those Pokeballs that fall from the trees. You know those, I don't know what kind of tree they are, but they just randomly dump. In December, they just dumped some down. And it's like, okay, we have another thing to sweep through and rake, but who wants to rake in December? I'm just being honest. I know you guys have perfect yards, I guess, but I don't. And we've been able to feel the judgment of her eyes, my neighbor's eyes. And that's been hard. I don't know if you've ever felt that, like you, and every interaction is a negative interaction, but that's how it kind of was and has been. In my old neighborhood, you could burn a tire in the backyard and no one would care. But if I burn a couple twigs in my fire pit, we've had the fire department called out on us just because we don't like this. So I'm just telling you, it's been rough. And it's just one thing after another. So it kind of makes you, over time, want to avoid every interaction. you just begin to avoid. It's like, just drive into my garage, shut the door, we don't have to interact. Am I just being real here? But last spring, she was in her yard, and she passed out, and my husband saw that, and so he called EMS, and she began sort of a health journey. We found out that she had some brain tumors and some things going on, so her health has really changed a lot over the past year. And that day when we were praying, this was just in December that we had this prayer meeting, he convicted me. If this lady is toward the end of her life, will you withhold knowing if she knows me because it's uncomfortable for you, because you have a negative expectation about the kind of interactions that you're going to have? And that was really hard to hear, but I was thankful for the Lord's mirror, because his kindness is what leads us to repentance, and he did it lovingly, but it was one of those moments I was like, okay. And it was hard, because I actually had attempted kindness in the past and didn't have real good response to that, but on the other hand, I had never presented the gospel to her. And so I repented in prayer and just said, God, just show me what you're looking for. And the next day, I was in my yard, and her daughter-in-law, whom I've never met until that moment, was in her backyard. And so I started giving extra attention to the situation, like, okay, God, I'm watching for clues. She looks like she wants to talk to me. And it turns out she was a fellow believer, and she was really open to receiving prayer, to sharing personal things. I got to minister to her, which was pretty cool, and we exchanged numbers. And I said, hey, I just want you to know, I would love to be available if your mother-in-law needs anything, if anything happens and you need someone, I'm on your team, just let me know. And I asked her, would you think that maybe she would let me pray with her sometime? And she said, well, I tried that 2 years ago, and it didn't go very well at all, so I don't think so. And I'm like, okay, well, we had that good connection. Follow-up text later, it was so good to meet you. So thankful that God caused us to cross paths and, you know, all that. And I'm just like, okay, God, I did it. And then he's like, I want you to reach out and connect with your neighbor. And so I said, okay. So I actually had her number as well, my neighbor's number. And I texted her and said, hey, we have some fresh eggs from the chickens. Would you like some? Because they actually were laying in December. And she's like, I would love them. You can come over at any time. I'm like, oh, okay. So we arranged a time, and I came to the door, knocked on the door, and she said, come on in. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in her house. And I'm holding the eggs and like trying, like, oh God, this is crazy. Okay. So I'm like, hey, I've heard about all you're going through. I just want you to know, like, I'm really just going to pray with you, and I'd love to pray with you for healing. I just want to know, like, do you have security with God? I'm like, believing with you that you're going to come through, but if you didn't, do you know that you would be with Jesus someday? And she shared with me that she had Catholic background and she felt secure in her faith, but she didn't want to die. And she reached out her hands and said, will you pray with me? So I'm standing in her doorway, holding her hands, praying for the healing of my neighbor and the peace and the presence of God to be on her when she has surgery in a few days. That was crazy change of story. And then she said, come through my house. And she's like showing me her house. I love my Christmas decorations. Here's my grandchildren. And then she sits down and she starts detailing where she's going to be in rehab after the surgery. And she would really like for me to visit her if I would be able to. I'm like, is this real? I can't believe how much this has changed. The story has changed. And it was, sure enough, she had her surgery later that week. Not only did she text me, but she called me to give me the results of the surgery and how she was doing. And again, a reminder of where her rehab would be if I would have the chance to visit her. She would love that. So December 23rd, I said, this is the day I'm going to go visit her at rehab. Made sure it was okay. Said, I think I'll come with some flowers in hand. I came and looked, and I saw a birthday card on her table. And I said, oh, have you had a birthday? She said, it's my birthday today. And so my daughter and I, she came with me. We actually got to sit and visit with her, Courager, love on her. You know, it gets lonely when you're in a space like that. And man, she was all about love. People want love, no matter what they're acting like. I have not perfectly passed love tests. That was a love test. But I'm thankful that God was kind to give me his conviction so that I had a chance to change. And I'm praying for her. She's back home, but her family's staying with her because she can't be on her own, so I don't know what's going to happen. But a storyline can completely change when we are willing to love with the love that he gives us. We can't do it on our own. I do not have that kind of love. My heart says, hide, protect yourself, get away. I don't want a negative interaction again. But God says, you have my love dwelling inside of you, and you can walk it out like Jesus would if you are willing. Joy, if I could ask you to come back up. I just want to give us an opportunity. I know this was a lot to consider, from the God flow to the outflow. But that's the essence of the passage, is like this is everything, that God is love and that we are called to love one another. And Jesus said it, it's first commandment, second commandment, the greatest things that we must give our lives to. So it's worth it. It's worth it to pay attention and be real with God about it. Even if it's uncomfortable, can I challenge you to have this conversation with God? I just want to invite you to stand, if you would. God, I thank you for the clarity in your word of the design of the flow of love that began with the blood flow of Jesus that was for us. You demonstrated your love for us in that way. And it was so that we could have access to the Holy of Holies, that the veil was torn, so that we could come straight into your heart and experience the fullness of your love. God, I thank you that you've revealed to us any blockers of that flow. And I pray, and would you agree with me, God, would you show us how to remove blockers and change the way that we look at you being love and the access that we have to the flow of love in relationship with you. And God, I also, would you just agree? God, I also invite you to show me if my heart is cold or hard and withholding love in any way, in any situation. And if you're willing, I invite you to acknowledge any places of coldness or hardness of heart where judgment or pride or indifference even has maybe determined how much love someone will or will not receive from you. And I just invite you, if he's showing you that, to repent now God, I'm sorry for withholding love. I'm sorry for not seeing through your lens of love. But I want to be more like Jesus. I need a revelation of your love so I can love with that love, and I desperately need it. If you long for it, if you long for him to be fully the way you live, that you would live in love fully, if you desire it more and more, I just invite you even to put your hands up and say, Jesus, I need more of you. I need you in my own life, and I need you so I can flow with the love of the Father to the world around me. He is so powerful. There is nothing that my God cannot do. There's nothing that's impossible for him. So any blockage or anything that's going on in your heart, his love and his power can transform that with your yes. So I want to invite you to go on a journey with God in surrender, that God, I'm trusting you that you're going to help this change in my life. And even if the prayer team, if you would come, I just want to give an opportunity that we can partner in prayer with you for anybody who would step over that line and say, I just even would like someone to agree with me in this place that I'm recognizing needs to shift. Look, we're all on the same team. We've all been there. I just shared with you my weakness. We all need him. We're all weak in ways. But we can take comfort in the scripture that tells us that where we're weak, if we invite him in, his power is made perfect in our weakness, and his grace is sufficient. So there's grace for you, not condemnation. There's grace and power coming for transformation for those who would say, I want it, I need it, I have to have it, I don't want to live the same way I've been living. If that's you, I want you to take this opportunity for prayer all across the back of the room and to the sides. People are ready to minister, and Joy's going to lead us in a song. Please receive prayer and just take a few more moments to seek the Lord in this.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.